Please turn with me to Luke chapter 20. We're going to be reading from verse 45 to the end, and then we'll move from 21 and we'll read from 1 to 4. Luke 20, and starting from verse 45. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of law. They like to walk around in flowing robes, and love to be greeted in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues, and a place of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gift into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow putting two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Let's ask for God's help in looking through his word. Lord, we thank you for time like this where we can hear you speak to us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to look through these words and the blessing that you've enriched me with looking through it. Lord, as I speak about what you said in those days, help me to be clear, help me to communicate well, let your spirit help me. Lord, we pray that as people hear your words, Lord, it will work out in their life, Lord, that there will be response to it, and we will learn so much from you this morning. Lord, I pray that, God, you will guide all our thoughts, my thoughts, and everything that is not helpful to your words, Lord. We pray, God, that you will remove it, and you will put our mind just focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. So I mentioned last time Seth preached from Luke 20, one of the things we heard about is Jesus asking questions from the religious leaders concerning his person. Jesus asked them, why it is said that the Messiah is the son of David? How could that be? If David, speaking by the Spirit, called Christ his Lord. This was a theology test for the scribes, the false teachers that we read in verse 45 that Jesus asked us to beware of. They weren't able to give an answer, but we could. Thank God for the Bible. Through the Bible, we have the benefit of complete revelation to know the answer to Christ's question. Christ is both the creator of David and a descendant of David. Do know, though, these questions are deliberate, because Jesus asked this question to expose the religious leaders' lack of understanding about the scripture. They have no ideas and they have no desire to want to know or gain knowledge from Christ's teachings. Rather, they were happy to craft ideas to blaspheme him. Also, they weren't interested about Christ being their Lord. Rather, they were happy to continue to mislead people, misrepresent God, and present false teachings about the words of God to people. And perhaps that helps in understanding why Jesus confront them and seven times passed condemnation and woe upon them when you read Matthew 23. We're not going to look into that this morning. But as we read from Luke 20, 45 to 46, Jesus begins to reveal their real motives. And it not means his words when he sounds strong warning to his disciples and followers. He said, beware of the teachers of law. In other words, watch the teachers of law. Watch the scribes. Watch the false teachers. Watch what they are doing. And don't be like them. What are they doing? So let us have a look at these false teachers in Christ's day. First, they like to walk around in long robes. They wear clothes to be noticed by people. They wanted people to know them. That's about the focus they put on their religious. So what do? They wear expensive robes so that people would know them. And second thing we also notice is that they love formal greetings in the marketplaces. You know, they love to be seen, showing up, pumping up. They wanted to be addressed by such name as Rabbi, something that would distinguish them from everyone and elevate them. They were merely looking for a public recognition of their importance. That's what they're doing. Third, they love the best seats in the synagogue and would sit in a high place of honor at feast time, as we read in that passage. Fourth thing that we also notice is that they engage in poor treatment of the needy. Although there was no mention exactly what the scribes were doing to the widows, but it doesn't really matter. That is what they are known for, not taking care of widows. The book of Ezekiel 34 validated this, that they were known to be taking a position of leadership, not to worship God, in order to just feed themselves, rather than spiritually feeding ordinary people of God that were entrusted to them. And the last one that is mentioned in this passage is that they are known for their showy prayers, praying long prayers for recognition. Those are the religious leaders in Christ's days. How does those religious leaders, how do they differ in our day? Sadly, the parallel is striking. Today, we see so much similarity. We see self-promoting and attention-seeking leaders of the church. Just like in Christ's day, they emphasize being called by their title rather than by their name. They're called Cardinal, Father, our Daddy. That's very popular among Nigerians. Reverend, Priest, and so on. These titles are never used in the New Testament. What we are familiar with is descriptive terms like apostle, pastors, elder, evangelist, and so on. These are doing work. These are descriptive words that actively working. But these guys that are self-promoting and attention-seeking, they're there for power, fame, and money. They don't play Christ high in their lives. They don't hold firmly to the gospel of justification by faith. They just love to do their own thing. Here's a teaching for us. If we desire to honor Christ, we will respect his teachings and not use religious titles or expect special treatment, but serve others with humility and avoid drawing attention to ourselves. We should be saying the same as John the Baptist said about Christ. He must become greater. I must become less. Many people thought John was a Messiah, even though he wasn't proclaiming that. In John 3:28, John says, you yourself can testify. People were coming to him, thinking he is a Messiah. But he answered them back, said, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I'm sent ahead of him. John the Baptist is willing to give up the spotlight to Jesus. He said, "He must become, Christ must become greater. I must become small." False teachers in our days create false doctrine. False doctrine is whatever opposes the truth that is necessary for salvation. These guys twist the word of God to attract people who are searching for the truth. Their aim is to share wrong gospel message that will entice as many people as possible to follow them. They are not after spiritual growth in churches, but increasing numbers. Brothers and sisters, it is unforgivable. Unforgivable to preach a false gospel, because a false gospel will lead people to hell. And just to make sure we understand the gravity of preaching false gospel, as bad as things like racism, corruption, abortion may sound, they still cannot be compared to crime of preaching a false gospel. There's no greater sin you can commit against humanity than that. More reason Apostle Paul doubled down on this, repeatedly saying in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. It's a big deal, guys. It's a big deal. False teachers nowadays have appetite for greed. Those who are in need of help are often ripped off by these people. They take people's money so that they can live lavishly. They love power, enjoying being the limelight. They do not preach or live in submission to Christ as Lord. They are faith healing from televangelists on the television and gospel channel. They are prosperity preachers. But God wants us to have a heart that gives to others. When we see a need that we can fill, if we have it, we have to give our money, our time, our possession, and whatever it is that we see our brothers or sisters is in need of. We have to do that. How awful it is that some churches today have turned into being about money making, rather about doing good for people, rather than a concern for a person's soul, they are after their money to finance their lavish lifestyle. Guess what? They are even charging for the gospel. They're asking you to buy it, to download, or to pay for a CD. The good news of Christ is to be preached to all, not to devour people. Salvation is by grace through faith, neither of works nor of money. In case you may not know, Christ gave us our salvation for free. Nothing you and I has given Christ to have second chance. It was freely given. We've sang songs this morning about how wounded, how terrible things that happened to Christ going up to the cross. And on the cross, he laid it all. Not for himself, because of his love for us. And he did it once and for all. And false gospel teachers today are selling that message to enrich themselves. Another thing they do, they use smooth and flattering speech to deceive us. Showmanship. They flatter by saying what people want to hear. They tell you how great you are and how you can have the best of life now. They tell you how great things can be in your life. They hardly, they don't even talk about sin. like sin. They don't even talk about it. And the coming judgment, they use biblical verses and twist the meaning to suit their motives. False teachers in our day are like the scribes, particularly in showy prayers, to gain self-respect and recognition. Prayer is all about talking to God, isn't it? Jesus teaches us how to pray, and we also have his prayer recorded for us in the Bible. One of the great blessings of prayer is that we get to speak in an open, heartfelt way to God. But see verse 47. Jesus has strong words for those false teachers in his day and our day that pretend to be God's leaders and teachers, but all about themselves and about their fame. They will be judged severely by our Lord. That's them. What about us? What should we be doing? We should remain watchful and don't be like them. Again, when Jesus said to his disciples to beware of the teachers of law, this means watch out for them, don't be like them. Because Jesus knew in his absence, the faith of his disciples and his followers would be tested by the scribes. He knew they would be tempted to turn back from following and believing in his teachings. That is why he wanted the disciples to look at the giving of the teachers, even though they had power, riches, and fame. They took advantage of their position to take from the widows, even though it was their job to look after them. When we read in Luke 21, 1 to 4, Jesus shows the contrast between sincerity versus showmanship. Jesus sees the rich people putting their gifts into the offering box. And at the same time, in verse 2, he notes what the poor widow puts into the offering were two small copper coins, maybe something similar to the kind of brown coins that we use these days that we don't get back in the shop. You know, you don't get your coins back anymore. That's something that tiny, something that's irrelevant. Hosea 6, verse 6 reminds us that our God desires steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. This means it's our heart that is more important than the rituals of worship. It's our heart that is more important that what we give. The scribes and the Pharisees gave to get something. They gave to give to get prestige, power, and flattery. But the widow gave her last penny out of her love for the Lord. The widow is an example of who is rich towards God. She's not anxious about this life, but she's seeking the kingdom of God. She's willing to give everything and leave everything for the Lord. What a wonderful picture we see that the widow is praised by Jesus because she gave out of her poverty, while the others, the rich people, gave for show to receive men's praise. What praise would you rather have? Men's praise or Jesus? Looking through this passage, we've learned about false teachers, both in Christ's day and our day. And we've learned about we have to remain and watch for them, don't be like them. However, we must do everything we can to protect ourselves from false gospel teachers. And how do we do that? It's to remain faithful. Remain faithful in Christ and become like him. Because why? We too will be tested. Our old lifestyle is always calling and wanting us to go back. Those programs on the television are so attractive. Sometimes we want to make sense of what they're saying. They're giving us another different kinds of doctrine that we want to buy into. But it's not true. It's completely false. So we must remain faithful by fixing our eyes on Jesus and become more like him. Because in Christ, all the treasures and wisdom that we need is in him. That's what Colossians 2 tells us. Everything we need to know is in Christ. We don't need any religious cause or any special religious ideology for a deeper spiritual life. We have it all in Christ. What we need is better understanding of Christ and a genuine relationship with him that will help us to identify if the message we are hearing or getting is not from God, is not God-centered, and is not Christ-exalting. That is the only way we'll be to know to be in him. Because if we remain in him, we'll be protected. And we cannot do that unless we are loyal to Christ, not keep shifting from God-centered to non-God-centered churches, being distracted by what is going on in our different world or different kind of ideology from the Christ that we've known all our life. We have to be loyal to Christ, because loyalty to Christ starts in our heart. We must love him supremely. Jesus said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Loyalty to Christ helps us to know him, love him, and place him in the highest place in our heart. Because Christ is so selfless, isn't it? He's so selfless. And he serves us to the point of death. So we should serve him in return with humility and selflessness to the end. All our life, we should be committing about our life to serving him, to want to know him, to keep growing in knowledge of Christ. Otherwise, we'll be destroyed by misusing or lack of understanding about Scripture if we don't remain faithful to him. That is the only remedy. That is the only remedy. That is the only solution for us to avoid being deceived by false teachers. Gaining knowledge of Christ through the Word of God is more than just increasing our intellectual knowledge of Jesus. It is more about having a personal relationship with him. 2 Peter tells us how to avoid being swept away. 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter reads, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We need regular studying of the Bible, praying and spending time to fellowship with one another. All right, here, home group. Meeting's a good place to start. Sean talked about home group last week. It's a good place to start where you can have better relationship with your brothers and sisters. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. Remain in him and begin to develop that relationship in Christ. To remain faithful and become like Christ, we must be obedient to Christ. We must apply the knowledge we gain from God's words to impact our hearts and convict us of the need to obey what we have learned. From one of the commentaries that I used, said this about Romans 12, 1 to 2. It says that the prayers of filling our minds with knowledge of God not only bring us closer to his like, to his Christ-likeness, but obedience to that knowledge aligns us with the perfect will of God. I think that is true. We must be loyal to Christ. We must grow in his knowledge. And we must be obedient to his will. As I finish with this message, I just want you to evaluate your character this morning. Have a look at yourself. Where is your worship? Your service and your giving today, is it from the heart or is it for a show? Are you looking for a charismatic style of worship? Or is your giving about competition? I've been in a church where it's all about what you show, you know, the amount of money you put in the, it's a very transparent box. You can see all that colorful money. People can identify what it means, about 50 euro. You know, when you see five euro, you know the color. Yeah, it's about that. Dropping it in. The highest bidder. Nothing that we should be doing that will glorify us. Christ must increase. We must decrease. Our coming together to worship God is not about show. Our position in the church is not about show. Our dressing is not about show. There was a story of a man in somewhere in America, I think maybe New York or Texas, I can't remember. He was on a live television and he was robbed. And this guy was known for his Gucci kind of top-down wear. This is something that is, you know, he's very known to his lavish way, and he was robbed from head to toe, and him and his wife. And they said the robbers went away with about more than a million worth of goods, just stripping them. All attention in our life and in our church should be given to one and only one, who is the creator of this world and ourselves, Christ. Beware of false gospel teachers. They are all around us, guys. Don't be like them. Become like Christ, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross for us. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your ever-loving and your protection over us. Thank you for warning us against false teachers that are in your time and in our time. Lord, they are still there hanging around and wandering around to devour us and to shift us away from loving you. Lord, we thank you and we hold on to your promise, Lord, that if we remain in you, you will remain in us. So we pray, God, that we will forever be seeking you, be seeking your knowledge, we'll be obedient to your words, and we'll continue to grow in knowing you and loving you. Lord, we ask you to draw close to us and help us to understand everything that you've done for us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.